Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
All right, so the last 3 weeks we have talked on a series called Soul Food, and we are on day 14 of 21 of our fast, and I believe hearing from some of you that God is doing some amazing things in your life and through your life. And so we've talked about what are you hungry for, we've talked about going to war. How many of you, I don't need you to raise your hands, but have you been praying this week for that one person that God showed you last week to go to war for? The one to pray for this year, that they will come into a relationship with the Father. Maybe you've already forgotten. It's like, right, I was supposed to do that this week. I encourage you, put it in your phone. Write it as a daily reminder. Let it repeat the whole year to pray for so-and-so. And just watch God stir your heart. It can pop up at any time. It takes 30 seconds to say a prayer for somebody. I challenge you, don't forget. Schedule it. You'd be surprised. I have reminders in my phone to do devotions. I have reminders in my phone to go to bed. All right? It's okay to schedule it. It's better than forgetting it. This week, we're going to look at who is in control. Who is in control? See, many of us, we just can't get victory over certain sins. We just struggle. Either we struggle with anger, maybe it's bitterness, jealousy, addictions of different things, addictions to alcohol or drugs or food. Some of us are addicted to pornography, others lying or gossiping. We just can't stop. Even though some of us, we may have experienced some freedom at one point, and then we just kind of slide back and lose ground that we just gained. See, many times, you can't just win your freedom. You actually have to walk it out. You actually have to make some changes. You actually have to change some things to continue in freedom. So the first thing I want to talk to you about this morning is keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Don't stop. Don't slow down. Keep moving forward. The moment that you stand still, you begin to drift. We keep pressing in with God. That's where your freedom is. That's where our freedom comes from. See, what you have to remind yourselves each day is Christ died for your freedom. So you're actually meant to walk in that freedom. You're meant to walk in that strength. We prayed to break things off this morning. Now it's up to you to walk that out. To walk it out. Those lies are going to come back whispering in your ear. I'm not speaking that over you. I'm telling you the enemy's schemes that we've talked about in the past. That he will whisper to you. He'll say, did it really work? Is this really who you are? And you have to stand your ground knowing this is who you are. I can't imagine David following God and serving him and worshiping him and being in his presence. Can you imagine getting to heaven as David and seeing that in the Word, he's known as a man after God's own heart? None of us refer to David as the adulterous murderer, which he was. But because of his repentance, here's the thing. The moment I say it, I'm like, but he was. Many of you thought right away, yeah, but he's been forgiven. So have you. So have you. You and I have been forgiven. You just have to receive it. You have to accept it. You have to own it. You have to be okay with it. You have to realize that Christ paid it for you. That's your freedom. That's the freedom that you get to walk in. Galatians 5, verse 1, it says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Many of you need to read this verse with me. Why don't you read it with me? And instead of saying the word us, say me. Okay, you ready? It is for freedom that Christ has set me free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I like the fact that you continued reading. I should just let you read it. See, here's the thing. Sin is captivity. Sin brings us into a slavery. That's why it feels so hard to break free. But what you have to realize, and I love the fact that it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then it says, stand firm. That's your responsibility. There is a part of this that is our responsibility. You need to stand firm. Some of you need to make the decision right now that, you know what? I sensed freedom this morning. I felt the lightness. My heart changed. When Wayne was speaking and it told me that God was going to heal me, I knew he was speaking to me. You need to take that, and I call them pillars. You need to mark it as a pillar in your life. A pillar that you lean on when you feel weak. It holds you up. Some of you, when we prayed, Holy Spirit, give us our identity, and the Lord spoke to you. You heard a thought. You heard, I'm a daughter. I'm a son of God. And some of you were like, where'd that come from? Holy Spirit speaking to you. Some of you need to write that down. I can show you in my notes on my phone. Every Sunday when I walk into church, I open up a new note and I put in the day's date. Because I'm expecting him to speak to me. And I write it down. And those are notes I do not delete. And every Sunday that I write that out, I put the date, and I'm going to come with expectation. I'll tell you, there's not a single blank note. Speaks to me every Sunday. I want to tell you something. He doesn't speak to me every Sunday because I'm the pastor here. He speaks to me every Sunday because I'm his son. If you come with the expectation, I don't care if it's your phone or a notebook, if you write down today's date expecting God to speak to you, he will. He will. And that's how you leave here changed. That's where a walk with the Father is in freedom and excitement and fun and joy. Does it mean it's perfect? No. Not perfect. But I never walked through it alone. This is the freedom that we are supposed to have, is when we stand firm and then we do not let ourselves be burdened again by the yoke. Remember we talked a few weeks ago about a yoke? As we're heading back to the Dominican, when I go to the cane fields and I see the yokes on the oxen, it always reminds me that the small ox is hooked to the big ox. He teaches, he trains, he pulls the weight. What you have to realize, and when sin, when you hook yourself to it, you're attached. But Jesus says, take my yoke. One way or another, you're getting yoked up. You actually get to choose who you're going to get yoked up to. Sin or Jesus? See, here's what you have to do. You have to make that decision every day. Every day. I'm not a fisherman whatsoever. Horrible at it. Personally, it's because I suck at it so bad. I don't catch fish. I'd rather just jump in the water and swim with them. But anybody ever been on a boat before? Raise your hand. It's okay. We're Pentecostal. All right, raise your hand nice and high. You've been on a boat before? Anybody been on a boat when the water looks like a sheet of glass? It's like a mirror. It's totally smooth. Anybody? Okay. Here's the amazing thing. When it looks peaceful and beautiful, you can see your beautiful reflection. If you stop the boat and don't drop an anchor, you will still drift. There is a current underneath. So what you have to realize with God, if you're not moving forward with Him, eventually you will begin to drift. Well, Chad, I don't believe in striving. I'm not talking about striving. I'm talking about having a continuous relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know where my relationship would be with Melissa if I just was like, hey, we're at a good place, I'm going to stop talking to her? For a little bit for her, it might be like a sheet of glass. Everything's peaceful and wonderful. Some of you are thinking it, it's just easier for me to say it. But eventually, we're going to drift. We know that in human relationships. It's the same with God. It's not about striving. It's about a healthy relationship. Healthy relationships stay in conversation. Healthy relationships do things together. Healthy relationships grow together. And see, we have to stay close to God because every one of us has an area that the enemy likes to poke at. James 1, verse 13 and 14, it says this, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God will not tempt you to sin. He will not tempt you to sin. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. You know what I don't like about this verse? Is that it says, I'm dragged away by my own evil desires and enticed. I wish I could blame somebody else. So here's what you have to understand to stay close to God, to not be a slave when it comes to sin. You have to know what this is. Don't be naive. Own it. Where is the enemy going to attack you? What is your go-to sin? Is it gossiping? Is it lying? Is it pornography? Is it food? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? What is it that you go to? Is it anger? The reason you have to know what it is so you can see it coming. You set up guardrails in your life. You set up accountability in your life. Whatever your sin is. And the moment you actually confess it to somebody, it becomes more aware to you. So I am good at having an event, having a Sunday morning service, and then I can sit and critique every little detail to make it better. My problem is, because of that, I'm also very critical. And I have to be careful where the line is of, I actually want to do this to improve, and where I'm critical. And many of you, many of us, don't know where that line is. And we don't have somebody in our life that we trust enough to be able to go, yeah, you crossed the line. Who in your life is allowed to speak into your life? You've heard me talk about don't listen to critics, but you need coaches. Critics just criticize. That's all they do. They just criticize. And the moment you fix one of the issues that they criticize about, they will find another. But a coach will talk to you and critique you because they want to see you succeed. They want to see you be the best you. You need people in your life that will coach you, that will say you crossed the line, that can say to you, hey, you're angry a lot. Hey, I know we were just talking about this person and we're talking about praying for them, but I think we just crossed the line about praying to gossip. Christians are very good at gossiping and then say, let's pray about it, and we feel better because we're having a prayer meeting. What is your sin? Own it. Get accountability so that you can walk in freedom. That's the only way you can walk in freedom, is to have somebody tell you when you're out of line. And do it in such a loving way because they want you to succeed. Because see, point two is, I need to keep myself in order. I need to keep myself in order. See, the way we're supposed to live our lives is that our spirit is in submission to the Holy Spirit. And then our soul, our mind, our emotions, our will is submitted to our spirit. And then the body is submitted to the soul. If this is out of alignment, then we are out of alignment. So when the Spirit, Holy Spirit says something to my spirit, I respond. My emotions, my will, my mind, it doesn't get to trump what the Spirit has said. When God asks me to do something, I don't get to say I don't feel like it. We've all had these days. We've had these days where you're sleeping and you wake up and just because you're not feeling right emotionally, there's a difference between sick, like, oh, I'm sick, I need rest. But emotionally, we don't have hope. We're tired. We don't have joy. We don't have peace. That all of a sudden, we just don't want to get out of bed. This is our body. This is our soul trumping our spirit. See, what we have to understand is when our spirit, first off, when our body is in submission to our soul, and our soul is in submission to our spirit, and then our spirit is in submission to the Holy Spirit, that's where obedience comes from. And many of us want to be close to the Father. The problem is your soul is too strong. And you need to strengthen your spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we read a verse from this last week, and we're going to read a bigger passage this morning. It says, I beg you that when I come to you, I may not have to be as bold as I expect. He's hoping that some shape up because of the letter before he gets there. To be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. You don't live by the standards of this world. You don't live by the standards of this world. You live according to the standards of heaven. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. That's not what it says. Thy will be done. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you and I are the ones that bring heaven to earth. So when people look at you and say, you're a little bit different, your answer should be, thank you. Thank you. Scripture tells us we're supposed to feel like aliens here. The difficulty is our lives don't show it. We don't look different because we look like the world. We talk like the world. We criticize like the world. We drive like the world. When you're in the lunchroom at work, the way you talk about the boss should be different. Yeah, but Chad, my boss is an idiot, said none of my staff. Just so you're aware, that idiot might be in your life to shape you to look more like Christ. God puts people in our lives to shape us, to use us. You speak differently about your boss in front of your coworkers, and they might be like, I don't understand why you do that. Well, it's just what I believe. And they may ridicule you, just as they did Mary. They may think that there's something wrong with you, that you're prideful or something, just like they did David. But you are supposed to be different. We do not live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world wages, or as we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension. It sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You have the ability to take captive every thought. This is where your spirit has to be stronger than your soul. You need to feed your soul from your spirit. This is why we're talking about soul food. What are you feeding your soul? You need to feed it from the Spirit. I take captive every thought. See, what happens is thoughts still come. But I can take captive. Sometimes my prayer is this simple. God, that's not the thought I want. God, can you give me your thoughts? And then, just so you're aware, I have to start thinking good thoughts. I have to start praying blessings on people. I have to start thanking the Father for things that are good in my life when I'm negative. Father, I thank you for these blessings. I thank you that I have a home. I thank you that I have heat in my home. I thank you that when I think people are angry at me, Lord, I'm thankful that I have a family that loves me. You take captive your thoughts, and then you actually start thinking good thoughts. That's how it works. So when you're at sleeping, trying to sleep, and your mind is racing, give those thoughts to the Father. Lord, these are not the thoughts I want. I give them to you. I'm stressed. I'm not sure about this. But Father, I give you tomorrow. Your word says that tomorrow has enough worry of itself. I give it to you. I'll worry about it tomorrow. Help me sleep tonight. And then you begin to praise the Lord. If you can pray in tongues, you pray in tongues. I am willing to tell you there's almost no faster way to fall asleep than pray in tongues at night. Because the devil just goes, I don't want you getting closer. Go to sleep. I'm serious. I know it sounds humorous, and I'm being humorous with it, but it's truth. You're having a hard time sleeping? Begin to praise the Lord and watch yourself just saw logs. Take captive every thought, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. Listen to this. Once your obedience is complete, obedience is key. This is where your freedom comes from, is obedience. Here's what you have to understand with being obedient to God. The why doesn't matter. The why doesn't matter. Too many of us believe we need a why or deserve a why before we act. Some of us actually taught ourselves or taught others that you should get a why before you do it. I don't see it in Scripture anywhere. Your obedience is supposed to just be that, obedience. God may ask you to do something simply to see if you're obedient. So about 6 months ago, spending time with my spiritual father and praying about, God, what do you want to do? How do you want to work through me? God asked me to do something every morning. Simple. I'll tell you what it is. Normally I don't tell you this stuff, but it's simple. God has asked me to read 2 chapters out of the Bible every morning. Some of you big readers might be like, 2? Well, that's nothing. I read more, I study, don't worry, but my own personal devotion time, for all you being judgmental, we just talked about that. He asked me to start in the book of Matthew. Don't know why. It bugged me. It really bugged me. So if you haven't read Matthew, right in the first few chapters, there's a lot of names in there. I felt like I had to read that chapter a few times, and I still don't know their names. And so I worked through this with my spiritual father, and he's like, Chad, why does God want you to do this? And I'm like, I am not getting an answer to why. And he set me up. He's like, Chad, you may never get into why. You just have to be obedient. And out of the obedience grows trust. When you are obedient to what God is asking you to do, your trust in him will grow, and his trust in you will grow. But Chad, I just don't understand why God's asking me to do this. I don't think he cares. He just wants to see if you'll be obedient. But here's the cool thing. As I continue to be obedient, I don't see favor. I don't see blessing. I see a heart change. I feel a spiritual connection difference. I haven't been released from the book of Matthew. I don't know why. But the why doesn't matter. He just wants to see if you'll be obedient. Some of you just has to ask the Father, God, what is it that you want me to do? Too many of us do our devotions according to our wants, our desires. You've never actually asked God, God, what should I read in the morning? You have your daily devotional book that you bought because so-and-so said it was fantastic and you should buy it. But you didn't say, Holy Spirit, this was a great book for so-and-so. Is this what you want me to read? What if tonight, before you went to bed, you said, Holy Spirit, what should I read tomorrow for my devotions? And then whatever came to your mind, you did that tomorrow morning. Let's go back to a marriage relationship. If every time that Melissa and I went out on a date, which if you ask her is not enough so far, it's true, it's fair, we haven't been on a date in a while. I'm okay with that, I'll own that. Not, I'm not okay with it, I'll own that, just to clarify. Clarify that really quickly. If every time we went out on a date, the only thing we did was what I wanted to do, how many ladies in the room right now could confess that would not be okay? Right? Some of them are like, oh, I don't want to raise my hand. But it's okay beside your husband. You're like, yeah, if all we did was everything that you wanted to do. And so sometimes we need to ask God. If you feel stuck, like, Chad, I don't feel like I'm growing in my relationship with God. Well, maybe it's a one-sided relationship. Come into alignment. God, what is it you want me to do? Because, see, when you're close and when you're obedient, when a big temptation comes along, then you will be ruled by your spirit and you will make it through. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. That's why you have to stay obedient. So God has your heart, so he will look after your heart. Because here's what you have to understand. For everything you do flows from it. Everything. The way you work, the way you live, the way you sleep, the way you eat, the way you enjoy life, the way you enjoy your family, everything you do flows from your heart. That's why you're supposed to guard your heart. Last point, keeping control. Now you have to keep control. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. You are a new creation. Just as David prayed and repented of his adultery and his murder and is now known as a man after God's own heart, your old self is gone. You are new. You are a man or woman after God's own heart. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. God has forgiven you. See, what we have to understand is to walk in the Spirit, to be a new creation, there are disciplines or practices, depending on what makes you feel more comfortable. They're the same thing. To keep any relationship healthy, there's certain things you need to do. Maybe in the last 14 days, you're learning that fasting is actually good for you spiritually. Maybe it's not something that you're like, okay, when the 21 days are over, I'm going to continue another 21-day fast. But maybe you're going to do the fast once a week, once every few days. Because see, what you have to realize is fasting, it quiets your soul. It quiets your emotions and your body so that your spirit is strengthened. That's why some of you, if you feel like, hey, the first little while, it kind of sucked. I kind of missed this. I missed that. I was hungry. I was craving to see what was on social media. You know, on this one day each week, I really do miss my Wednesday lunch. But all of a sudden, you're like, hey, you know what? On Sunday mornings or in my quiet times with God, I really hear him better. I feel encouraged. I didn't understand the strengthening that I felt until you're talking right now that it's my spirit that I feel stronger and my flesh isn't winning the day. That's what it is. So maybe it's something that when the 21 days are over, you continue. Because remember we talked about last week that Jesus said some of these only come out by prayer and fasting, and Jesus didn't go away to pray and fast. He was already ready for it. Some of you have to understand what you've been doing and developing in your life the last 21 days or last 14 days shouldn't end. It should become a daily part of your life or a weekly part of your life, a discipline in your relationship. Because see, Galatians 5:16, it says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. That's why it's a challenge. So that you are not to do whatever you want. Isn't that so contrary to our society? Your flesh and your spirit are in conflict. This is why you fast, to teach your body that your spirit is in charge. And to do that, you have to realize that you don't get to do whatever you want. You ask Holy Spirit. Now, I also think some of this can go to an extreme where you don't do anything without asking Holy Spirit. I think there's times where we ask Holy Spirit, and then there's times that whatever you're doing, do it in a way to represent Jesus Christ. There's times where some people won't move because they haven't heard from God. God wants you to go to work. And I honestly believe there's many times where God actually doesn't care where you work, but he wants you to be a godly example where you work. Now, I'll stretch some of you with this, but I don't think God really cares where you go to school, as long as you are a godly example when you're at school. There's certain things that we make our young people sweat about. What if I go to the wrong place? That's why it's hard here. It's just the wrong place. No, it's college. It's hard. You're away from home the first time, and your parents never taught you how to wash a load of laundry. It's hard. Keep reds away from whites. Mostly after that, you're probably okay. The way we do it is this, Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You've heard me pray this many times. This is the prayer for my life. That Holy Spirit, I never want to be ahead of you. But there's also a danger, I believe, that I never want to be behind. I want to be in step. I don't want to miss out. So Holy Spirit, give me the wisdom to walk with you, but also give me the faith to walk with you. You need both. And with both, you need to act in obedience. And here's what you have to understand. The reason you might need to add things to your life spiritually and you need to subtract things from your life worldly is because healthy things grow. And growing things change. If you're healthy, you're going to grow. And if you're growing, it's going to change. Your relationship with God should change as it's growing and developing. Let's pray. Prayer team, will you come to the front? Father, I just thank you for the privilege and honor to worship you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that we can walk in relationship with you, that we can walk in step with you, that, Holy Spirit, there's a strengthening with you. Help us, Holy Spirit, to quiet our flesh. We understand that it's actually in conflict with you. And so, Holy Spirit, as we're walking through this season of fasting, I pray, Lord God, that we will learn that this shouldn't be a January event. That, Father, this is something you want us to do regularly to build the strength of our spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. There's people across the front that are here to pray with you today. So if you need a strengthening or maybe you need a physical touch that we didn't pray about this morning, they're here to pray with you in agreement and stand with you. If you just need a heart change, you just need a word of encouragement, they want to pray with you and speak life over you. Now, for many of you that know Bethel Church, there's something that we are known for in the community. I really feel weird doing this after just saying, come and get prayer. But I promise there's lots. One of the things that we are known for is popcorn. And if you didn't know this, Friday was National Popcorn Day. Right? I know some of you are like, what? I missed this. So on your way out today, we have popcorn for you. There is lots, so come and get prayer first. All right? Father God, I thank you for today. Thank you for strengthening us and touching us and speaking to us. Lord, as we walk out of this place, let us walk in spirit. Let us change lives. Let us be salt and light in this place. And so, Holy Spirit, give us the strength to look different in this world, that when people see us, they see a difference. And so, Holy Spirit, walk with us. Let us stay in step. Let us not get ahead. Let us not fall behind. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. That it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.